We are in the middle of what we're calling Liberty's Film Festival. And basically, we are looking at timeless truths that God has already said in His Word that these producers are catching up on, and directors, and they have a message. We're looking at A Night at the Museum. And before I go there, I want to give a praise report. Young Mikey that we've been praying for, Tom's grandson. Thomas just been to America. He's undergoing chemo, but the last x-ray that they took, that there's been nothing found. Everything is clear in his body right now. Praise God. And we've also, just want to give a praise report. We prayed for Sinead's mom on Thursday night, our intercession, and it was everything signing that she had cancer, and Sinead rang us the next day, and mom had gone under all the tests that you could go under, and they found it was a lung infection. So we thank God. You know, this was a huge pressure on this girl, and who knows which way God works these things out. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We bless you for your goodness, Father. We bless you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Father. I thank you, Lord, that your church is not a museum. It's not a place of dead relics, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that your goodness and mercy and presence is in this place. And I pray, Father, that we all avail of what you have for us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bible to Ezekiel 37, and we will land there. But you know, a museum, what is it? A museum is a place full of items or artifacts of historical value, mostly of historical value. We live up near the museum or the art gallery of modern art. And sometimes I wonder what value it has in historical sense in years to come. But some of it is very creative and very wacky and weird, and it always gets you thinking. But for the most part, a museum is a place of items that have of a bygone era. Something somewhere in history that helps us understand what history was like and what it was about. You see the great art and paintings in our museums. This great art of yesteryear by the greats. Just recently, I was over in Paris, and for the fourth or fifth time, I've gone to the Louvre. Because I love museums. And the Louvre is one of my favorite places in the world. And we go in again. In times past, I've had the kids with me. And they spent 40 minutes and they wanted to get out. When myself and Sharon were on our own, we were there for 8 hours. And there were still three parts of the Louvre I've never even seen. Such is the vastness of the great museum that is the Louvre. They're good for things. Museums are good for inspiring, educational purposes, even enlightening purposes. And except for these things, I don't know what real value the things in the museum have to me or you in our lives, in our circumstances, in our situations. We can go and look at historical bones, but what use are they, or what value are they to you and me in where we live? How relevant are the items of the museum that you and I may go and see? How relevant are they to you and me? You know, this language has been talked about around the church for years. You ask someone about going to church, and they would nearly say it's like a dead museum. It's full of relics. Not you guys. It's archaic. It's not just museums that people think are irrelevant to their circumstances or their situations. But you go out and do a survey today and ask people, what do they think of church? They will say old-fashioned, archaic, irrelevant. What has it got to do with my life today? To some people, churches and church buildings are museums to dead religion. To some people, when they see church, they've no time because there's nothing in there of value into their lives. A house of relics. The church and every Christian has a choice in their lives to either become relevant or to become a relic. Relic and relevant are next to each other in the dictionary. They're that close. You can either be relevant or the relic. I wonder what Jesus is today to people. In Jesus' day, this woman came up. She'd gone to see all these doctors. She had an issue with blood. She was hemorrhaging. She spent all of her money on the doctors, and the doctors couldn't help her. In fact, the Bible says that her going to the doctors somehow made her worse. Maybe not made her worse physically, but maybe psychologically. There's no hope for me. There's no future for me. Even the top doctors in the land have told me I'm a goner. So if she wasn't made worse physically, she was certainly made worse psychologically. And Jesus is in the crowd one day. And she had a choice to make. Is this man relic or relevant? Before Jesus came on the scene, the religion of the day, the traditions of the day, that's what they were only to people. There was laws and ceremonies and rituals. But there was no power of God. It says that there wasn't a voice from heaven. It's called the interterrestrial years. There wasn't a voice from heaven for something like 400 years. And they got into speaking and thinking and ceremonializing God out of the equation. And all it became was a bunch of religious relics. And now Jesus is on the scene, and this woman didn't go to the temple to get healed because there was no power of God in the museum. There was no power of God in dead religion. And God sends his only son, and he's sending his son for a number of reasons. The main one, to die for our sins, but also to reveal what he was like. And Jesus walked in, and this woman comes up, relic or relevant. Is he all talk, or is he speaking about a historical era? Is he speaking about the Acts of the Old Testament, Exodus? Is he speaking about when God came with Moses and done all the great miracles? Or is he saying that's for today? I'm going to see. No hope. No relevancy in any place in the land. I'm going to press in. And the Bible says there was crowds around Jesus. And she pressed in beyond the crowd. Isn't it amazing you can be amongst the crowd and miss Jesus? It's amazing you can come to church and hang out in church and miss him. If you miss me, you haven't missed much. If you missed him, you missed everything. If you walk out here and never know my name again, no problem, my friend. But if you don't know him, I don't know what your end may be. But she pressed in beyond the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment. Just the hem. Just one touch. Just one touch. Is there something going to happen? Or is he another one of these people that are speaking about the relic of what God used to be like? And she touches him, and Jesus turns around and says, "Who's touched me?" The disciple says, "Sure, Jesus, there was loads of people. Everyone's touching you." "No, not like this person's touched me." And as soon as she touched, the power of God was released. No relic, no historical stats. No historical literature. This was the now. This was here. This was in her life, in her circumstance. There was no big religious ordeal. It was someone reaching in. And she says, "It's me, Jesus." And he says, "Girl." Well, he said, "Daughter." "A woman." He says, "Your faith has made you well." And immediately she was healed. Look at this video for a few moments that the media team done about the relevancy of Jesus in people's life today.
Praise God, I'm still off the drink.
For my life, I owe you everything.
For never leaving me.
For loving me.
Thank you for healing my mind.
For saving me, leading me, and protecting me.
Thank you for my new business.
For my new job.
I'm grateful you gave me a chance.
Praise God for giving me direction in life.
Thank you so much for my husband's recovery.
For your goodness.
Thank you for saving my family.
23-year-old woman, healed from cancer.
I got a home, for friends in the church.
For making the impossible possible.
For hearing my prayer.
For a job and money.
Thank you for making me who I am.
Thank you, I'm not where I was. Thank you, Jesus, for treatment for this.
For a financial breakthrough.
Thank you for saving my life, for working with my kids, for the freedom you gave me. Thank you that today is another good day.
For just being here.
For your provision.
Thank you for the church.
Amen. Amen. I want to tell you, the church is not irrelevant to those people and many more that God has said, it's not just something of yesteryear, but I'm something of today. He's not inviting us to a night at the museum. He's not inviting us to a night or a day of looking around the yesteryear's art and artifacts. He's not asking us to come into a dead religion. He's not asking us to come in or belong to a dead church. He's not saying, come on in and look at the and discover the great things of yesteryear. He's saying, come on in and I'll show you how relevant I am to your life. It's amazing how Jesus was relevant to everyone he met. He met all these people and they were starving. Absolutely starving. Jesus says, I need to meet their needs. What have we got? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. I don't know about you, but I would run if he handed me them. And Jesus didn't just stay in just what he was. He wasn't just stuck with what he's seen. But he gave thanks to his Father. And it's amazing when you look beyond the natural, what God may do. And he fed 5,000 people with bread. And there was 12 baskets left over. It's amazing what you give to Jesus, what can be left over. It's amazing how he works his multiplication. It's amazing the mathematics of heaven is nothing like the mathematics of earth. And Jesus said, I want to be relevant to these. I want to meet their need. I want to show them my Father meets. It says, historically, that the disciples were all teenagers, early and late teens. Isn't that amazing when we all look at the movies that they made? They all are older and big long beards. They were young flits. They were young men. They were young teenagers. And when you read through their, when you read through the Bible with that in mind, you can understand how Simon Peter was like really up for it and got it wrong. You can understand why James and John says, Jesus, when you come into your throne, can we sit at the right and the left of you? You can understand why this young teenager, when Jesus says, get out of the boat, all right. They were doing bungee jumps and stuff like that before we ever got them. I'm going to jump out if Jesus says it. I'm going to get out there. I don't know about you. When I was younger, I was going up by the Dolphins Barn Bridge. And I don't know what height there is, but when I was younger, I used to stand up there and jump off into 3 foot of water. I wouldn't even tempt to jump over my garden gate these days. Why? Because as I got older, I don't know whether I got wiser or more fearful. Or I understand the circumstances or the consequences more. But the teenagers, Jesus was relevant to them. The children came, here, sit in my lap. The widows came. He was relevant to them. The people that were mind was broken. He was relevant to them. The man that was hid up in the caves, he didn't need a relic. He didn't need somebody or something that didn't know the power of God. He knew someone that could come and deliver him from his brokenness. The intellectuals came to Jesus. And he was relevant to the intellectuals. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he was relevant to the rich young rulers. The lepers came and he was relevant. And you know what the Bible says? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You may say, I'm coming to church. I don't know whether I'm coming to a museum or not. I want to tell you, Jesus is here to be relevant to your circumstance. Jesus is here to do what only Jesus can do in a life. Jesus came and he wasn't hiding away in a museum. He wasn't hiding away in the cathedrals of his day. He wasn't hiding behind anything. He came and he was out there for all to see. And if you had a problem, he was there for you to come to him. It says at one stage he brought all of the sick, all of the diseased. They brought all of the demon possessed. They brought him to Jesus. He wasn't hiding away. He was saying, I'm here. You come to me. And I think we have a tremendous opportunity to be a church that when people, we can confidently say, bring your dead. Bring your broken. Bring your people that are, minds are in bits. The bodies are in bits. Bring your addiction. We're not afraid. Bring your lepers. Bring people with HIV. Bring them to this house. Because we believe that Jesus can meet every single need that you or I or anyone else out there has. We will not play him small. We will not play him down. You bring him. We will pray and we'll bring it in front of Jesus. Because he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. The church of Jesus. I said to the Lord, I preached here, the first sermon here was called, we're not staying in this place. And this is what I said to the Lord years ago. I don't want to be hidden away. I don't want to be up a back alley. And you have to start somewhere. We were hidden away. But it says, Lord, I don't want to be a leader of a church that is hidden away somewhere, down some back alley, in some backfield, around the bushes, hiding somewhere, afraid of those who are broken, afraid of those who have problems. Lord, I'd rather die and go to heaven today. Lord, I want to be on the main street. I want to be in a place where the church, the name of the church, that there's somewhere where we can say, bring out your dead. Bring them on out. Come on and we'll get before Jesus for you. That's why people could write praise reports. Because they're bringing. Why? Because we're a great church? No. Because Jesus is great in the church. Because he wants to release his greatness to those who will say, okay, stacked up against you, I'm great at stacked up against you. The enemy's coming over the hill. I'm great at empowering people that when the enemy come over the hill. Huge obstacles. I'm great at causing people to scale and run over walls. That's what David said. Say amen. Amen. And here's what's incredible. We're getting to Ezekiel. Here's what's incredible about this movie. Even though it's funny and it's entertaining. They go to the museum where everything is dead. And in the nighttime, everything comes alive. I was thinking, what a picture of that is that the church should be. The people come broken and they go out alive. People come with their spirit dead within them and they go out born again. People come in with all types of ailments and chains behind them. I'm back with that walk again. I remember when I became a Christian, I had a truck full of chains. Every time I moved my hand, I could hear it. Every time I tried to think beyond my circumstance, I could hear the door slamming in my mind. I get brought to church. I give my life to Jesus. And as I kept walking, they were falling off me. And as I kept looking to them, they were breaking away from me. I was coming out of door after door after door. Why? Because Jesus is the same. Bring. I said, what a picture of the church. Bring it all. Bring it on. When we say to people, come up the front, we're going to pray, here's the altar. Do you know what we're saying? Bring it out and put it before God. Amen. Bring it out, stack it up. Like I am, what's your man's name? Elijah. Get water and pour it on it. We come on, more water, three times around it, because when God sends us for it, it doesn't matter what's in the way. When God is in the house, and God is in this place. Bring your dead. Bring your dead lives. Bring your dead wives, bring your habits, hurts, hang-ups, bring your dead marriages, bring your dead mindset, bring them on in. Because I know God wants to touch people. I know God wants to intervene. I know God wants to take us and any relic mentality. He wants to just zoom her into today and say, I'm here for you today. I'm with you today. I'm for you today. I will bring you and make you scale walls. In Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel said this, the great prophet. He was sent to Israel who were in captivity. I love Ezekiel for this. He always got the hardest jobs to do, didn't he? Like one time the Lord said to him, lie on your left-hand side for something like 300 days. Like, and when he was finished, you know what the Lord said? Now lie on your left-hand side. Because he wanted to send a message. I'm like, how did he obey that? Crazy. Another time he said he was sitting with the elders and the Spirit of the Lord came and took him by the hair and moved him out into the Spirit. You know what? I don't care how we get into the things of the Spirit of God as long as we get there. I don't care if we're getting dragged into the things of God as long as we get there. Amen? You say amen, he comes alongside you today and picks you up by the ear. You said amen to him, remember? I'm like, I don't know about you, but I can sense this. Look at the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of God. He brought me out. I'm like, Lord, I want to go out in the Spirit of God. I want to be brought out. I go asleep at night and say, Lord, I don't know how it works, but even if you have to put me asleep and take me out in the Spirit, I want to go there. I want to see what John's seen in the Bible. I want to see what Isaiah's seen in the Bible. I want to see if it's fun. If they can do it, we can do it. If it can happen in their lives, it can happen in their lives. I want to be translated. Sounds weird. Sounds like something out of Star Trek or something. But it says the disciple was translated from one place to another. When I'm down the country speaking and I'm coming home late at night, I say, Lord, translate me. I pray every time, translate me, Lord. I go, Lord, I close my eyes and when I open up, let me be in Ballyar. Let me be in Ballyfermot. And it never works. And then I said, Lord, I promise, if you do it, I won't tell anybody. And he knows me too well. But I still ask. The Spirit of the Lord, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was a museum. It was full of dead things. It was full of bones. It was full of things of yesteryear. It was full of things that were once bright and beautiful and brilliant. But we're now dead relics. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. The bones that were very dry. Verse 3, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel was very wise. He said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know this. Then he said to me, speak. Prophesy to these bones and say to them the words I'm going to tell you to say. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord and stand up. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. He says, the Lord says to him, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel said, I prophesied. I spoke what I heard God telling me to speak. I spoke as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. There was a rattling sound. And the bones started coming together. Where am I? Bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on the bones and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me, speak, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that are slain so they may live. So Ezekiel got bolder. He says, I prophesied as he commanded me. And I spoke to the four winds, come and breathe in them and be in them so that they may live. And he prophesied as was commanded, and a breath entered them. And they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. And the Lord said to him, son of man, this is the house of Israel. Those who are in captivity. Those who are in bondage. Those who are under Nebuchadnezzar, that cruel king. These those who don't know, they think I'm just a relic. They don't know whether I love them anymore or want them anymore. Ezekiel, this is who they are. They say unto God, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. And we are cut off. Therefore, I prophesy to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I'm going to open your graves. And I'm going to bring you up from them. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. And when I open your grave and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done this thing, declares the Lord. Oh my goodness. That there was this museum of yesteryear. It was this museum of a vast army that once walked through the land, that conquered cities, that conquered nations, that brought warrior nations to book, that caused them to run off, that caused them to see things that they would never have seen unless Israel was there. And now they were just bones. Now they're just relics. Now they have nothing to offer. Now they have nothing to say. Now they have nothing to respond to except the Word of God. See, the Word of God is in the bones. And the only thing that they were going to respond to was the Word of God. Here's a hint, a tip. You want to bring your dead bones to life, make sure you have the Word of God getting into you. Get it into the bone. Get it right into you so that you know what God is saying. Prophesy to the dead things. Speak to them and call life to come into them. Speak to them dead bones and call them to come up. And he prophesied. And who stood up? A vast army. An army of valor. An army of brilliance. An army of venture. We have a choice. Are we going to be a church, an individual, a Christian, that we're just bones? You know what happens when you're just bones? A bit like me after playing football on a Saturday. If you're just bones, you groan. Oh, me kneecaps. Oh, me hips. Honestly, me hips, me kneecaps, and me ankles. After every game. I go home, there's a house full of compassion. No. It's self-inflicted. I know. I'm just going to be one of them bones that belong to the relic church, that just gives out about anything that has life. That's what happens when you're a bone. You moan. You give out about anything that represents tendons or flesh or covering. Ah, they're not doing it the way we used to do it. So what? We were not living in a museum. There's many churches you can go and watch historical stuff. Moans, groan. Don't be a moaner and a groaner. Don't be somebody that's, don't be part of the vast army that says, I don't care who comes against us. I don't care how the future looks. I am standing with the rest of the warriors. But you know what was wrapped up in these bones also? The future was wrapped up in the bones. The future was in the bones. The future that God had for them were in the bones. He says, I'm going to give you your own land. I'm going to give you your own space. I'm going to give you your own patch where you can stand off, be who you are, and live for all that God has for you. And he says, I'm going to come, I'm going to breathe, and you're going to be able to stand. Can I tell you something? God wants to give you your own land. He wants to give you your own space. He wants to give you a space where you're free. He wants to give you ground where you are on higher ground and not dragging yourself through life anymore. He wants to give you authority. He wants to give you power. He wants to be relevant for where you're at today. But he has something for you. Isn't it amazing? That he can, or else you can stay a bone in the boneyard. My walk with God is very simple. He's always dealt with me with choices. And the way he's always dealt with me, here's the alternative. Now I'll step out in faith. Here's the alternative. And I never liked the alternative. I never liked it. Rob said a couple of weeks ago to me, he says, you know what, Noah? We have a good number of people coming to church, about 250 that call Liberty Home. That's one of the biggest churches in Ireland, believe it or not. Isn't that crazy? He says, no, you can get rid of me, get rid of anyone else you're praying for, pastor the church, lead the church, and we have a good church, you have a good name, you have a good rep around the city. But he says, I know this, Noel, you would rather die than stay there. Do you know why? That's boneyard. Because the future's in my bones. And there's millions and thousands in my bones. There's a nation in my bones. There's a country in my bones. There's a world in my bones. And then the alternative all the time is, stay here in the boneyard. Or live out the future that's wrapped up in my bones. And that's what's offered to every one of us. That's what's offered. Stay where you're at. Or step out with God. And I tell you guys, 20 years later, stepping out with God is a million times better than ever staying in the boneyard. You may say, I can't do it now. I can't break out. I can't. Okay, present yourself before God. And His promise is, my Spirit will come. And He will be in you. And when His Spirit is in you, you can do all things through Him who gives you strength. David said this. Listen, I love this about David. With your help, Lord, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With God's help, there's enemies in front of us. There's troops of them in front of us. There's line after line of soldier after soldier. And David says, with your help, the breath, the strength, I can come against them. I can imagine God taking David like a bowling ball. And troops flying everywhere. You know, I can't make it. Yeah, you can. Who told you you cannot make it? Who told you? Who said that lie to you? Who's speaking that in your ear as I'm speaking now? You can't be one of the vast army. You won't stand up. In your own strength, maybe not. David says, with your help, I can not only advance against an army, but I can scale a wall. Man, anyone good at scaling walls when you're younger? See little Pasha that's with us? We were calling him a monkey yesterday. He was up lampposts touching off stuff before we even knew it. Do you ever see those guys that now it's an art. They run up walls. They run over roofs. Parkour. It's this new thing that they're all doing. And they're running out over the things that like no one else would run over. Barbed wire walls, they're jumping over them. They're letting their leg hang onto them while they're flipping off the other side. And that's all on a push bike. Only joking. But he says you can scale a wall. What's the wall in front of you? What's blocking your pathway? What's there that says you cannot overcome this? David says, with your help, I can. With your breath in me, I can. With your power, I believe I can. With you for me, I can. I can imagine you running, and as you're running, God grabs a hold of us and goes, whew. But we have to run. I can imagine when we're going to step out, it's God's power that causes us to walk on water. I'd imagine when we go down to face the giant, it's God's power that's behind us to kill the giant. But we have to walk into the valley. We have to get out of the bow. We have to run against the wall. We have to advance against the army. With your help, Lord. Are you still with me? I'm finishing up. He says this. It's found in Psalms, but I'm reading from 2 Samuel 22. It says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for me. He's a shield, in fact, for all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock of my life except my God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand up on the heights. He trains my hand for battle. He trains my arms to bend the bow of bronze. Lord, you give me your shield of victory. You stoop down and you make me great. What's in front of you? What's standing against you? What troop is there? The breath of God can come and enable you to face into that wind, into that storm. See out the storm. See out the enemy. See out the wall. He can enable you to come. Think of this. What were you facing this time last year you didn't think you could overcome? Just think of it when you thought, this is going to take me under. and it hasn't. Think of what you thought, oh, it's museum. And God came in, was relevant. Think of when you were going under. And somehow, like supernaturally, this hand came and you're still standing. Now what you're facing today. If you're my help, Lord, I can overcome it. If you're my strength, I can advance against an army. Let's stand. See, I think Ireland's best day is ahead of us. I think the church in Ireland, our best days are ahead of us. I think for our towns and villages and cities, I think for our nation, that there's something great ahead for us. And I want liberty. See this army. If this is the vast army, I want liberty to be at the front. I want us to be relevant to those around us. When someone's broken, I want us to be the relevant arms that says you're going to make it. When someone needs a euro, I want it to be liberty that put their hands in the pocket. When the orphan comes into our midst, I want it to be us that is holding them. When the widow comes into our midst, I want it to be us that is standing with them. When the enemy advances against us, I want it to be us that are standing, bring it on. When the people have their dead and people that are living in debt, when they're saying, where do we go? I want it to be us that says, bring them to us. When people are broken and unaccepted anywhere else, I want it to be us that says, you'll find acceptance and belonging here. I want us to be the vast army. I want to, you know what makes liberty the vast army? You. You know what makes us known in this city? You. You know what makes us beautiful, bright? You. Do you know who's loving the broken? You. Do you know who's holding up the hands of the widows? You. Do you know who is feeding people in at Christmas time around this community? You. It's you guys. Do you know who's playing the worship? You. Do you know who the welcome team is? You. Do you know who the ministers are down in the cafe area? You. Do you know who's visiting one another, texting one another, encouraging one another? You. You're the vast army. And when it comes to liberty, and it comes to the battle, and it comes to the vast army, I would ask you in your heart to settle it. I will not run and be a groan, ni moan, ni bone in the boneyard with the rest.